Welcome to Off the Cuff, our podcast here with our lifelong pastor, John Bell. I'm Dean Vitale, and we are here regularly where we talk about some questions you might have. And I throw them out to John, and then John and I discuss, and you listen to it, and hopefully we all learn something. So, John, let's get right into it, because we've been going a little long, so we want to just get right into it. So we'll cut the niceties.
My wife always says this has been a question.
You're right. Who says that?
My wife says we'll cut the bula bula.
All right, let's cut the bula bula. So here is the thing. I've had people ask me, and people that that read scripture, and they're convinced that in the Garden of Eden, it wasn't really an apple that was sinning. It wasn't really the act of biting the apple that was sin. The apple was a metaphor for something else. So was the apple the temptation in the Garden of Eden?
Well, nowhere in Scripture does it say it was an apple, first off. It was fruit, and it was the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So what does that mean? So prior to them eating that fruit, the only thing that they knew to do was what God told them to do. And as long as they did what God told them to do, they would remain in that state of innocence. And I would say further, they would remain in that state of innocence, moving towards the completion of their perfection, because it has to do with trusting what God says, doing what he says. He says this is reality. So the question I always ask people is, who defines reality for you? Who explains reality? Who do you listen to? People say things like, well, there's my truth and there's your truth. I say, well, that may be true, but there's only one reality, right? Reality is real truth. It's the way things are. So God says, let me define reality for you. Let me explain what's real for you. So part of the challenge that we have as human beings is God didn't want us to be robots, because he could have made sure that we didn't eat of he could have made sure that we didn't do anything that he didn't want us to do. But he gave us freedom. And the mystery between the sovereignty of God and the free will of man, that's been debated and talked about, discussed and written about thousands of years. None of us are ever going to understand it, but both statements are true. God is absolutely sovereign, and we absolutely get to make a choice. So, even theologians argue about this. Was there something in that fruit, not an apple, but was there something in that fruit that was going to contaminate and corrupt and bring about sin into the body? Remember, every act of sin starts with a desire. And here's what an evil desire is. An evil desire is wanting something that God doesn't want you to have. Or working outside the boundaries, like sex. God wants you to have sex. He doesn't say, don't have sex. He says, but the boundary for sex is marriage. If you work outside of that boundary, then you're in violation of what God is defining for you is what's best for you and what is real. And if you violate that, there are consequences to that. So I think the moment, so I picture it like this, that Eve had visited that tree more than once. And it says she looked at the fruit and saw how appealing it was, how enticing it was. And she, her desire, she wanted it. And I think that desire just grew and grew and grew. And the moment she acted on that wrong desire, so that she moved outside of God's instruction and God's plan and God's will for her, I think that's when the Spirit of God was taken from her, and then Adam followed suit, and the Spirit of God was taken from him. Now, for the first time, they understood that there was something other than what God wanted them to do. And that's why it was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Before that, they only knew about the good, which is what God told them to do. The moment they stepped outside of what God told them to do, now all of a sudden they were presented with the fact that, you know what? There's evil. So there's not only the side that we should do what God wants us to do, there's another side to my free will, which is I can actually do something that God doesn't want me to do. So now they have the knowledge of good and evil. And, you know, that's when all the bricks came tumbling down.
Right. So I guess, you know, and I could just imagine everyone going, wait a minute, it's not an apple?
Well, it's because somebody really painted pictures, apple? Right?
Right, exactly.
It just shows you how powerful artistry is.
Yeah, because I was at the Creation Museum not too long ago, and there are pictures there. I mean, they're, you know, and she's holding an apple. You know, it's that's great. Another thing you learn here, and off the cuff. So you contend that it was some type of fruit.
It was definitely a fruit.
It wasn't a desire of the
tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Okay. All right. So people that think it was another desire, they're wrong. It was a fruit. And she could have that desire for that fruit. And basically it was just, it was told to her not to partake in that.
Yeah, so God, to give us freedom, God had to give us the freedom not to obey him. I mean, if you have the freedom to do something or not do something, that's freedom. Now, the thing is, humanity doesn't do very well with freedom. You know, think about this country. You know, how many lives were fought for the freedom that Americans enjoy? I mean, how many men died on battlefields so that we could be free? Do you think young people today are handling that freedom very well?
Yeah, absolutely not.
I mean, do you think if soldiers saw what was going on in America, like the desecration of flags and, you know, the hatred of our system and, you know, just all the stuff that's being said about how terrible this country is, all those men that died so that we could be free. Christians don't handle freedom very well. Americans don't handle freedom very well. Humanity doesn't handle freedom very well. So that's...
Is that by and large or is that most recently?
That's total. It's total. Most people don't handle freedom well. You know, that's... I mean, we sin because we have the freedom to sin. If we didn't have the freedom to sin, we wouldn't sin. So part of what God does is he pays for our sins. He pays for our guilt. And then he puts inside of us this power that was taken from us, which is the Holy Spirit. And Galatians 5, the Holy Spirit starts producing in us the right kind of qualities so that we'll know how to handle freedom. Here's what Paul says in Galatians 5. He says, you've been given this freedom so that you might love one another. And my Holy Spirit has been put inside of you so that he can produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. But is that what he produces in all Christians? No, because, you know, they have the freedom to resist the Holy Spirit, to quench the Holy Spirit.
But that's the sanctification process.
Yeah, but, you know, we're free. In Christ, we've been set free, Dean. So it's the freedom now to, we're free to love. or we're free to continue to disobey.
So let's just take that for a minute. So let's just talk about disobedience. So we are given the free will to be disobedient. How do we know when learned? How do we know that the Holy Spirit is indwelling us and giving us? We're living in the Spirit, so we're. It's easier now. Let me do this right, because I know you'll say, "Wait a minute." When we walk in the Spirit, we have the power to be obedient. Mm-hmm. When we walk in the flesh,
the old nature,
we can always count on being disobedient.
Yeah.
True?
Yeah. Yeah, and the simple way to test it is to look at your relationships. You know, are you creating loving relationships, or are you creating selfish, ego-driven, divisive relationships?
Mm-hmm.
That's a simple way to tell.
Wow, that's a good test.
Yeah, because in place of the word flesh, I use the word ego. You know, ego. Mm. And you know, am I living for myself? Because I was given the freedom to love, which means I was given the freedom to serve. Because if I'm walking in the Spirit, I have an inclination to serve others. If I'm walking in the flesh, I have an inclination to take advantage of others.
Right. So something just came into my head here. So Eve couldn't draw upon the power of the Holy Spirit.
No, she could.
At that time.
I believe.
Well, there was the Holy Spirit wasn't present.
No, he was. The Holy Spirit's always been around. It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's part of the Trinity.
Right, but I understand. But it wasn't available. Was it available?
Yes.
I thought that.
No, it was available.
But I thought. Here's what I thought. Now here we go again. I thought when you accept Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells.
Yeah,
you.
Because now He can. Because.
But she didn't have an opportunity
Jesus
Christ.
From the very beginning, they were infused, I believe. I mean, you know, I'm talking my beliefs now. It doesn't say in the text, but the Spirit is involved in creation from the very start. You know, the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep and began to create. But you have this wonderful harmony between the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. So you have the Father orchestrating and creating. So it says that they walked and God came and walked with them in the garden, in the evenings. That I believe that was Jesus, by the way. I believe that was Jesus in the garden, walking and talking with Adam and Eve and, you know, having fellowship with them. But I believe inside of them, their spirit was still alive. It says, he says, in the day that you eat this fruit, you will die. Now, eventually, they're going to die physically. They're going to die in their bodies. But the moment they ate that fruit, they both died in that instant. Now, what does it mean to die? Well, there's physical death and there's spiritual death. What is spiritual death? We know what physical death is. Physical death is the separation from the body, separation so that the body no longer is the housing of the soul and the spirit. There's a separation between the body and the soul and the spirit. So the soul and the spirit still exist even after you die physically, but there's separation. So that's that's what death is. It's separation. So what is spiritual death? Because that's what happened the moment they ate the fruit. They were separated. Their human spirit was separated from the Holy Spirit. I picture it like this. If you and I could see our spirit, it would look like a receptacle. It would look like a cup or a vase. Now, whenever you see a container, a receptacle, what do you say to yourself? Something goes in here. So why is our spirit like that? Because something is supposed to go inside of it. What goes inside of it? the Spirit of God. And when the Spirit of God indwells our spirit, then we're spiritually alive. Adam and Eve, before they ate that fruit, they were spiritually alive. Now the Spirit then is taken from humanity and then shows up throughout the Old Testament, you know, in various individuals, but it's not like something where everybody has the Spirit, although they're looking, they're trusting, you know, and they're empowered by the Spirit, but they're not permanently indwelt. The permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit doesn't happen until Acts chapter 2 at the birth of the church. And you see the Holy Spirit coming to indwell believers and eventually on a permanent basis so that you and I, when we receive Jesus Christ, our spirits are now ready to receive the Holy Spirit. And because we are vessels that have been consecrated and cleansed, the Spirit of God can dwell in us.
So is it fair to say that at that moment, Adam and Eve stepped from the spiritual realm to the physical realm?
Yeah.
And then let me ask you, in Scripture, it does say that before that God walked with them in the cool of the night.
Mm-hmm. Evening. Yeah.
Did God ever walk with them after that sin?
So after Adam and Eve, the early chapters of Genesis, there's various ages that exist. So what God gave them is no, because they were kicked out of the garden. Remember, you put a...
Wow.
Put a
so they lost that intimacy
with God. They lost the intimacy with God. And that's what we know we're missing that. That's what we long for, to have that again.
That's what's
good.
But
now the Holy Spirit is still, he was still in the world, because you can't take the Holy Spirit out of the world. But as you used the word earlier, the intimacy was lost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, imagine if you were in love with someone and then there was a breakup. You might see them on the street and remember what it was like, but you don't have intimacy anymore.
Right. All right, well, that's good. A lot of clarity there, John. That this was good. So, you know, I went from asking, was it an apple? And we found out it wasn't an apple. And we found out that it was, in fact, a fruit. And we found out that it was something desirable. And then we found out that Eve had the ability to say no, but the desire was so strong. He and she stepped from the spiritual realm where they walked with God in the cool of the night, and they sinned, and now they're in the flesh, in the natural world, and they lost that intimacy with God. And we long for that intimacy. Wow.
Yeah,
that's excellent.
Augustine said it like this, our hearts are restless until we find our rest in you.
Mm-hmm. So that's back to what we talked about, justification, sanctification, and then finally glorification.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. We don't have anything to do with justification. We don't have anything to do with glorification. But we can continually say, well, we have something to do with justification in the sense of saying, yes, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And I understand that Jesus died for my sins. And I receive him as my Lord and Savior. And then the test of you making him Lord is whether you're not, you will continue to obey him.
Excellent. All right, John, we have to wrap it up here. This was very enlightening. Again, a lot of clarity here. This was great. I appreciate it. Thanks again. So you've been listening to Off the Cuff, a conversation between lifelong pastor John Bell and me. I'm Dean Vitale. I'm the regular guy here. And then John and I kind of, we kibitz back and forth over Scripture, and this is not rehearsed. The subject matter, we know that we're going to be talking about some things, and then we just go off the cuff, and we both learn, at least I learn, and I hope you learn together as well. So you can follow us on social media, and you can find us on Instagram at Amazing Men Ministries. You can follow us on Facebook at Amazing Men Ministries, and on Twitter at Amaze, A-M-A-Z, Man, M-A-N, Ministry, M-I-N-I-S-T-R-Y. Always our content's available on our website, AmazingMenMinistries.com. And so when you kind of surf that website, you can go to the navigation bar. You can choose the series button up on top. And then from the drop-down menu, find what you're looking for. Thanks for listening. On behalf of John Bell, I'm Dean Vitale, saying we look forward to you tuning in next time. Thanks again.